Welcome to Coaching Culture, the podcast where we discuss how we can use sports and not let them use us. I'm JP Nerman, the founder of Thrive On Challenge, and the mission for this podcast is to connect leaders in athletics to help us create a transformational culture by building leadership and character. Now let's get started. Hi, welcome to episode 50 of Coaching Culture, Defining Our Core Values. I'm JP Nerman, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Nate Sanderson. Last week, we discussed our why, our purpose in coaching, and today we're going to dive into what is the next step for many people, which is defining what we value, because our values guide our behaviors, and it's in our behaviors that we model the values, the character, the virtue we want to develop in our players. After we break this down for you, we're going to give you three activities you can do yourself or with your staff, and also we're going to give you two disciplines that you can implement in your own life to help you actualize these values. Let's get started.
JP, last week we spent time talking about this foundational question in developing a coaching philosophy and building a culture, which is identifying your why. Why do you coach? And in Joe Erman's Inside Out Coaching book, he talks about the next logical step in following that question, which is to be able to identify your core values, your personal core values. And just in order to frame today's conversation, I want to just make a distinction here before we get started that we're not talking about our organizational values. We're not talking about our team values or our program values, although certainly that's going to shed some light on the things that are most important to us. And we'll talk about some of that in our experiences here. But Coach Erman talks very deliberately about a process for determining what's most important to you as an extension of your purpose here. And I'm curious, in your coaching journey, at what point did you come into a place where you really started thinking about what your personal values were in your coaching process?
Well, Nate, I think our experience has been different, but I still think that we both are at a place now where we're a little bit more clear in what we value. You know, when I started coaching, you know, I was only 20 years of age. I never really reflected a lot on not just the type of coach I wanted to be, but the type of person I wanted to be. Eventually, the type of husband and the type of parent. And so for me, when I started out in coaching, I was more thinking along the lines of the goals, the things that I wanted to achieve. And I never asked that question, why? And I never asked that question of, you know, who I wanted to be, the different type of qualities about myself that I wanted to represent in coaching, but also in the rest of my life. And so when we talk about values, we're really talking about virtues. We're talking about character strengths that we live our life by. And so for me, it was only until Inside Out Coaching that, you know, Joe started asking those questions that I really started to reflect on the values component. And I think there's some benefit of reflecting on those. You know, what are my values? What are the virtues that I want to build within myself as a coach, as a husband, as a father, and as a person? The trouble is, so for many of us in coaching, whether we've just starting out or we've been in it for a long time, is that there's other things that society values, right? Our administration, parents will value different things. Our athletic director, you know, I talked with coaches just recently. You know, that coach has, or that athletic director had for that coach, various objectives and goals for them to achieve that year. Things that were very results oriented and out of that person's control. And so we have to face this fact that society values different things. Society values money. Society values material possessions. But that's different than our values, right? And so for me, I ended up deciding that I valued competitiveness. I wanted to be a competitive coach, right? But I also kind of find that in my personal life, as competitive as I'm striving, you know, with the people around me to be the best I can be. And it's not about winning or losing. And then when it came to the other value of mine, is that's selfless. I wanted to be a selfless person, not just as a coach, but in my marriage. I understood that selflessness was at the core and the foundation of what it would be to be a great husband. So Nate, not everybody goes through this similar process that I kind of went through or that other coaches have gone through that have read Inside Out Coaching and maybe applied the book in their life. What did this process of kind of defining your core values look like for you?
Well, I think for me, it's never really been an intentional process. I mean, I've never really sat down with a note card and tried to list out 20 values and start crossing them off and ranking them until I got down to 3 or 4 or 5, you know, as some of the activities we'll have you do. I think for me, my coaching experience has really provided a mirror sort of into discovering who I am and who I really want to be. And I think that would be my advice for coaches as you reflect back through your process or back through your career and you think about the different experiences that you've had. Certainly there have been moments where I felt like that's who I want to be, you know, whether it was an interaction with a player, whether it was the role that I played in a player's life, you know, being there as a mentor, being there as a support system that maybe they didn't have. Maybe it was coming out of a good practice where I responded the way I wanted to or the way that it felt best when my players were making mistakes or where things weren't going our way or whatever it might be. And after 16 years of kind of this reflective process and certainly starting in a different place than what you were describing before, I think what I've discovered about myself is that, you know, I really value love and effort. In fact, when I went into my job interview a year ago for the position I have now, you know, a lot of that is trying to determine what are they looking for, what do they value as an organization, and what do I bring to the table, and who am I as a person? And that's really where I started, was with those two values. The most important thing to me are love and effort, and being able to you know, ultimately implement that into our program and hopefully be able to teach those virtues and model those for our players. But at the end of the day, the thing that frustrates me most as a coach is when those things aren't happening. You know, the thing that frustrates me most as a parent is when my kids aren't interacting with each other in love, right? This happens mm-hmm. on a daily basis and it drives me crazy, right? Or when our kids, you know, don't give the effort that we expect or that we know that they're capable of or what have you. And so, in that regard, it's just been a more, I think, a reflective process, just paying attention to those things of when did I feel like the person that I really want to be in some of those moments. I think as we go through this, you know, and again, there's this juxtaposition of organizational values versus your personal values. Why do you think it's so important for coaches to be able to identify what matters most to them before we start taking steps into determining what matters most in our programs?
Well, for me, I knew that my players needed to possess certain virtues, certain character strengths for us to really realize our potential. And so I started to try to teach these various character strengths, these values, right? I started to say, you know, we need to be about hardworking, hard workers. We need to be competitive. We need to be selfless. And, you know, I started to try to implement curriculums, go outside, you know, for other people that have put my team through different activities. You know, I'd give these speeches about it. We try to have discussions about it. But during that process of doing that, I realized something, and I kind of want to read a quote by John Wooden because you know, I probably read it when I first started coaching, but I didn't read it clearly well enough, because he says, "Handouts and discussions were meaningless unless team members could see lots of evidence of the pyramid of success in my own behavior as a leader and a coach. Your own personal example is one of the most powerful leadership tools you possess. Put it to good use. Be what you want your team to become." So for me, early on in coaching, I was all about handouts. I literally would hand out the pyramid of success at the beginning of every season, right? These are the things that I would talk about and I would demand of my players, but I wasn't modeling these behaviors. And so by defining my values, that helped me to reflect on my behaviors, which is so critical for me as a coach.
So I'm curious, JP, after you landed on those two values that you identified before, for you personally, of selflessness and competitiveness, how did those start to change your behaviors as a coach?
Well, in early on in coaching, I might not have said I was about winning, but my behaviors matched up with a coach that valued winning. So when we lose a game, I'd be upset. When we win a game, I'd be happy. And my behaviors changed as I stopped being about that. We could lose games, be really competitive, come out there, give our best, and I could still feel some fulfillment, right? I may not have been running around all happy, you know, happy, you know, hunky dory and stuff. And the same thing with when I was the selflessness. You know, I talked about selflessness. I said that's what's so important. But as a coach for a long time, I would do things for players. I'd make sacrifice for players. But in return, I expected this gratitude. I expected this thanks from the parents and players. And then I moved to a place where I became a more selfless individual. I didn't need the thanks. I didn't need certain compliance in their behaviors and the things they didn't practice for me to still love them and treat them with respect. A player could come in to practice, not have a great attitude, not work hard, and I was still there. I was still there to serve them. So, Nate, I even remember this one time. Not only were my players starting to see these changes in my behaviors, and not only were the parents, but I actually even had a referee come up to me once after a game and say, where's the old Coach Nurbin? And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, you used to be crazy. You used to be running up and down the sidelines going crazy. I used to hate refereeing your games, you know? And he even kind of acknowledged this change in the way that I was behaving because I kind of sat back and reflected on those type of behaviors and how they matched up with my values. And so I was still a really intense coach on the sideline. I was still giving my best, but I just had changed my behaviors around. I wasn't reacting to the results anymore about, you know, the scoreboard. And that's what I had struggled with for so long. Defining my core values had helped me to then take the next step, which is really way more important than this episode we're talking about today. And we're going to get into this in future episodes, which is deciding on the behaviors that align with our values.
Well, I think that's such an important point because so often we can get caught up in outcome-based, even personal evaluations of how am I doing as a coach? Well, let me look at my win-loss record. I mean, you can look at my record over the last 2 years. Last year I was 3-19. The year before that we were 21-2 or something like that and won a state championship. So who am I, right? Like, you know, if it's only about the outcomes, then I'm not sure who I am. You know, one of the things about identifying your core values and really committing your behaviors to falling in line with them is it can really mess you up in some situations. And, you know, I think one of the defining stories for us is we started really sinking into this phrase of love and effort. Or before that, we used to say a lot of play hard, love each other, and do what we do. That was kind of our thing at Springville, the school I was at before. So we had been preaching this with our players for a couple of years, 2 or 3 years, and really starting to teach what does love look like and what does effort look like and really getting them to engage in that process. And more I felt like as we went into my my last year at Springville, that there was this incongruence between how we were practicing love and effort with our players and with our coaches and what we were doing with our parents. And what I think for me, that's been the biggest impact that having a commitment to a couple of really core values has had is it's given me a lens to reflect on what I'm currently doing. And so as we started to think about how we were interacting with parents and how we were essentially doing what most coaches were doing or probably do, which is have the parent meeting at the beginning of the year, give them the packet, set up the boundaries and say, you know, these are the things we'll talk about. Otherwise, keep your distance and try not to screw up what we're doing here. And even to us, like we were building this dynamic culture that was really starting to be unique and really be valuable and beneficial for kids. And we were telling parents to sit back and watch, you know, watch what they're doing here as though they were like observers in this fishbowl thing. And as I started thinking more and more about, you know, what is love really in all these different contexts, when we started interacting with parents, like that isn't really love. You know, that's not asking them to stay at arm's length. Isn't it, you know? And so we went into that last year and for the first time really invited them into our process and encouraged them to participate in our culture and did, you know, our parent activity and some of those kind of things that we never would have done before if we hadn't started thinking about what does love look like, certainly in different aspects of our program, but even in the way that I was interacting with people, parents included.
Yeah, I think one of the coolest things when I've been working with people, working with coaches one-on-one that I experienced in my own life was that as I started to change my behaviors, like you're talking about here, not just towards your players, but you're also changing towards the parents and then also the other people in your life. You know, I've seen it, other coaches that I work with have seen it, and I know there are coaches out there could attest to this. As they become a better coach, you have to become a better person. And it's about changing those behaviors. And you can't just walk into the gym and become someone different. You know, you can't just put it on there and then go back home. You can for a while, but eventually it will catch up with you in life, right? You know, eventually people will find out who you really are. And so this is where we talk about the personal growth piece, and this is why this inside process is so important.
Well, and I think that's such a key point too, is everybody's asking that question. When you start a new job, when you have a new freshman class, when you get a new administrator, everybody wants to know the answer to that question. Who are you? Right? Who are we working with here? What does this coach or this teacher or this person really stand for? What can we expect of them? And, you know, having a commitment to some core values and being able to answer that question for yourself makes it much easier for you to communicate that. And it isn't just about communicating to people and saying, look, I'm about love and effort, but it gives them a place to start because everybody wonders, right? And I think that's so important because the way that the coaching industry is, it's so easy to get blown, you know, from one thing to another, to not just in your systems and your schemes, but there's a coach that wins a national championship that's a yeller and a screamer and it's really intense and that becomes in vogue. And then 5 years later, you know, a servant leader like Brad Stevens is runner up a couple times and that becomes in vogue. And, you know, all those different styles can work, but trying to figure out who you are is going to make you more effective in your interactions and your connections and your relationships with all of the stakeholders that you are dealing with as a coach and certainly in the rest of your life as well.
So Nate, one of the big fears I know I have as a coach still, and just as a person, and I know other coaches have, is this: by sharing our values, by letting other people know what we value, we fear being a hypocrite.
Well, for sure. I mean, you're definitely entering into an area of vulnerability because you're saying, this is who I am or this is who I'm striving to be. And when you don't live up to that, and we're all going to make mistakes, you know, whether you're talking about selflessness or competitiveness or love or effort, there's going to be days where we don't have great interactions with kids, or we do lose our cool in practice, or we don't have a, you know, a positive interaction with a parent and they can come back and say, well, you know, you said you wanted this program to be about love, and that conversation certainly didn't do it for me, you know. And at the same time, though, I think that the language that we really try to use when we communicate that, and this, again, is just in terms of who I'm introducing myself as, right, who I'm portraying myself to be, is that I'm striving to become this person, right? And I know, you know, again, we could pull five players off my team, get my wife and my oldest daughter on the line here, and they could come up with lots of situations where, you know, love and effort wasn't the most evident thing in how I conducted myself, right? But I think what's important is that when we talk about what we're striving to be, like who I'm striving to be in my interactions, that sometimes then your players, as an example, my captains will give me feedback when I'll ask them, like, how are we doing? You know, when I coach this way, how's the team responding or whatever? I'm really trying to tease out, you know, am I communicating love in the way that we're doing things? It allows them to be part of the process of helping me become a better coach, but also become a better me, right? And it isn't necessarily that you want to just give everybody carte blanche the permission to give you that feedback. But I do think that it opens the door for grace, you know, when you're willing to be vulnerable and you're willing to say, this is who I'm striving to become. And I'm not there yet. And I hope to be better this year than I was last year. I hope with my wife that I'm a better husband today than I was yesterday, or a better father to my kids today than I was yesterday. But it's all part of the process, you know, and in a lot of ways, I think that maybe even empowers players to embrace this idea that they're part of a process too, whether it's who they're becoming or who they're becoming as a player, that when you start to model that vulnerability and put yourself out there to say, this is who I want to be, that it gives permission for them ultimately to start maybe going down that road as well, that, you know, they can identify who they want to be as a teammate, who they want to be, you know, as a member of the team, while acknowledging freely that they aren't there yet, you know. And so we start to have this mutual interaction of trying to help each other to grow. But certainly when you're starting, there's fear. There's certainly a fear factor there. Anytime you're going to be vulnerable and put yourself out there, it can be a little bit unnerving.
It's critical in your relationships with yourself that you don't feel like these are things you value. It doesn't necessarily mean that these are things that are your big time strengths as a person, but these are the things that you're striving for. And I think sometimes we're going to fall short. You talk about that, modeling that willingness to grow. You know, that's such a key component to growth mindset, is being vulnerable, sharing with them, these are the things I value. I'm not there yet, but I'm working on it.
Well, JP, the other thing about knowing what your values are and committing yourself to them and trying to find ways for those values to bleed into who you are in all of your interactions and the situations that you face during, you know, in life, not just in coaching, is I think it provides a safety net in a way, especially in this, you know, in the coaching industry where we're so often evaluated by wins and losses. You know, I think for me, if I was being fully transparent with my experience at Linmar this year, you know, my biggest fear was, even though I know who I am and I know who I want to be and I know who we want to become as a program, there's this fear that that's not enough, right? Like if kids come out of our program or I become a coach that gives this great effort and models love, and that becomes contagious with our kids, but we don't win enough games, that in some way that person that I want to become is not enough in this situation. I think that the blow of that is softened or maybe even deflected in the knowledge that regardless, there's a contentment in being true to yourself. You know, there's a safety in knowing who you want to be, dedicating yourself fully to that, and then resting in whatever comes out of that, you know, and having peace in whatever the results are. I knew that I was true to who I wanted to be in that time period or in that context. And that peace of mind sometimes in coaching with all the pressures that we face and all the outside opinions and, you know, the way society views sports, sometimes that can be as valuable as anything else that we can cling to is a satisfaction that I was true to myself in all of those difficult circumstances.
So Nate, for me, coming up with who this person is, what I value, that was kind of challenging because I sat down and said, all right, what are my values? And I just started writing them down and ended up having this massive list of 20-something, 30-something values. And it can be kind of daunting to like kind of narrow that down, right? Because everything seems really important. But, you know, the good thing is that these virtues, these values, they're almost like a network. So they kind of work together. So really it isn't that important which ones you come up with. But a really cool activity that I got from Jim Lohr's book, The Only Way to Win, was this idea of thinking about a role model, a coach or a person in your life that was somebody that you really aspired to be like, and to list all the qualities that you really admire about that person. And then just to pick the top three, pick the top two, whatever those qualities were. And there you go. You've got your kind of those things, those values that you kind of aspire to be.
JP, I think there's a lot of different ways to gain some perspective on identifying what your core values are. We do a similar activity actually with some of our players that we just call the do's and bees. So when we ask them to think about people that they admire in their life, whether it's their parents or it's someone that they look up to or a teacher or something like that, we ask them to list about 3 to 5 adjectives, so words that they would use to describe that person, and then in a separate column, they list behaviors that person does that demonstrate those adjectives. So if Mrs. Cooper in our class was always positive, well, what is it that she actually did that allowed you to connect with that positivity? Well, she greeted me at the door every day, or she always said hi to me at lunch. So we really try to get them to think not only about words, you know, adjectives that they like to would like ultimately to describe them someday, but also what is it that attracted them? What behaviors attracted them to that? And that might be a good exercise to do with your coaching staff as well. I know we talk about, you know, the process of bringing others into this and having some dialogue with people that are close to you. Having your assistant coaches think about 1 or 2 mentors and have their do's and be's, or identify things that they admired about those people, and being able to share that is a great way to build relationships on a staff or with your captains or what have you. So I think that's a great activity. I think the other question that I think has led me to see some things that help me to identify what's most important is looking at the other end of the spectrum and the things that drive you just bonkers. I mean, the things that drive you crazy, whether it's in players, you know, and I'm not talking about personalities here. I'm not talking about, you know, pet peeves about not tying their shoes or leaving the toilet seat up or something like that. I'm just talking about, when a player is selfish, it drives me bonkers, right? And it drives me crazy because it's the opposite of selflessness and service and love, right? And so the things that you have that instinctive, violent knee-jerk reaction to might also be a clue as to what you truly value the most deeply, because you just seem to react the most quickly to it, if that makes sense. So paying attention to those things also can be enlightening sometimes.
Yeah, I think once we've got our core values kind of defined here, whether we write them down or we, just know them in our head, I mean, I think there's a benefit of writing them down. And Joe Aramon talks about that in Inside Out Coaching. He talks about how every morning he'd wake up, he restates his why, like his purpose, and then he restates his values, and that helps him to envision and visualize for that day how he can actualize and live out those values. And I think that that's just kind of a simple activity, especially in tough moments of the season or great moments of the season, but when we start to get caught up in whatever's going, our circumstances, to bring us back to what we value, I think can to have that in our office, to have that in a diary or something that we come back to every day, I think that's kind of huge for us to do.
JP, the last thing I would say here as we wrap up here this week is that sometimes it can be a challenge to write three values on a note card and stare at them and try to figure out, okay, what are the behaviors that I need to add to my life that are going to manifest love and effort or whatever, competitiveness and selflessness? And I think sometimes it's easier to ask the question in the other way. When you get to the end of your day and you look back at, the interaction that you had with your students or with your players or with your kids or with your spouse, did I manifest love and effort in that conversation? Would they walk away thinking, I don't know if I agreed with coach, I don't know if I agreed with my husband right there, but I felt loved at the end of that conversation? And that's probably just a way to sort of figure out where you're at once you've really been intentional about identifying those core values, and then can start to allow that reflective process to start providing input for how you want to interact with those people tomorrow.
So Nate and I would love your feedback as we move forward in this podcast. We'd love to know what is working, what isn't working, and ask that you could suggest a topic for us to tackle in a future episode. You can find Nate on Twitter at Coach N Sanderson, and I'm also on Twitter at JPNERBUN. Also, I will put up our emails in the information notes of this podcast. Go to thriveonchallenge.com, subscribe to the weekly newsletter to get today's coaching notes. And lastly, you can support this podcast best by sharing it with other coaches. Thanks again for listening in to the Coaching Culture Podcast.